Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, better known as Raf. Now, the Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and we talk all things disability. And today we've got the pleasure of being joined by Marie Claire Cooper. How are you doing today, Marie?
Good morning, Raf. Thanks for having me on.
Look, it is an absolute pleasure. And we have also do have Liz Hills, one of the ambassadors for the National Assistance Card today. How are you today, Liz?
I'm doing really well, thanks, Raf. Thanks so much for making this space available.
Look, it's kind of, as I said, it is an absolute pleasure because the National Assistance Card is extremely important. Now, Marie Claire, I understand that your role is the Executive Officer at the Brain Injury Association of Tasmania that has driven the National Assistance Card.
Yeah, absolutely. The Brain Injury Association of Tasmania designed the original card, which used to be called the Brain Injury Assist Card. And a few years ago, following a lot of feedback and requests from other organisations nationally, we looked at launching the card nationally. And initially, first just for brain injury, but also now the card is available for the autistic community nationally as well. It's also our hope that the card will be available for all disability types in the future.
What exactly is the National Assistance Card?
It's basically a card the same size as a license. It contains personalised information about the person. So on the front of the card, it has the person's name, their photograph, and just a basic statement that says your understanding and assistance would be appreciated. On the back of the card, there's more information about the person's disability type and the way that that impacts them and the supports that they might need. It also has the details of their support person. And really, the most exciting bit, it also has a QR code, which links to more information. So that might just be a few statements that the person wants to put in there, but it could also be more information such as an epilepsy management plan.
Liz, from a practical perspective, we'll go back to 2004 very, very, very quickly, that it was a big national disaster across in Thailand with the Sazanis. What was that like as a person with a disability trying to access any type of assistance?
It's been great to come on board as the National Assistance Card Ambassador. I feel really proud to be able to step up and to maybe talk a bit more about this. I've been using the National Assistance Card since 2022, and it's really been valuable in helping boost my confidence. But taking us back to 2004, at that stage, I was head injured for 8 months, and I was still coming to grips with the injury, and I was in a pretty bad way. But the tsunami that I lived through in Thailand was so monumentally huge that it seemed like everybody was in a big state of shock. I was fortunate because although I had a disability, I also had white skin and I was considered an expat, and we were basically all rounded up and supported very well while we were in Thailand. However, when I got back to Australia, I was greeted at the Brisbane airport and sent on my way, and that really had a lot of negative consequences for me as a newly head injured woman. And I was unable to communicate a lot of what I needed. And at that particular time, my condition went downhill as well. I wish at the time that I had access to the National Assistance Card, because perhaps I would have immediately been recognised that there was something going on there for me, and that people would have been able to point me in the right directions for support.
With the 2004 Tizani, look, it's 20 years ago, but there's also other disasters that actually have happened. For example, 2019, the huge bushfires that have actually happened. There's been floods up in northern New South Wales as well. Would the National Assistance Card be of use during those times?
Absolutely. Where I live, which is in the scenic rim in Queensland, the ancestral lands of the Mijinberry people, I experienced the 2019 fires, which were really scary. I have a really strong and supportive family, but it really demonstrated how vulnerable people with disability can be in those types of situations. I wish that I'd had a national assistance card in the 2022 floods, because there were times where I was separated from my family, and that those times become increasingly difficult and dangerous if you're not able to communicate, or if people have expectations of you that you're not able to meet at that current stage. And just having a card as a visual clue that there's something that needs to be addressed here, or there's something else that needs to be considered, means that I'm able to more effectively communicate what I might be needing to keep myself safe, and also to keep other people safe. You know, the reason that I have a national assistance card is not only for peace of mind, but it's also an active way that I can support the rest of my community engaging with me safely.
Marie Claire's that the National Assistance Card, it's a fantastic initiative, but are all first responders familiar with the National Assistance Card, what to do if they're showing one?
At this point, Raf, no, not all emergency assistance personnel have that training, but it's something that we are working on currently with this current campaign to ensure that all of the different types of emergency services around the country have that information. So we have been doing a lot of work getting that information out there and providing training where possible. But also a really important element of the card is that it does speak for itself, because we also know that in those emergencies, and I have family up in Lismore who were rescued off rooftops, and we know that there was a lot of people in those circumstances who weren't emergency service providers. They were everyday people responding to a very dangerous situation. So the card really does speak for itself. And so whether it's an emergency service person or whether it's just an everyday person in the community, the message is the same, that people need to read the card, acknowledge what it says, just speak in a calm, normal voice, but be clear and concise. And really the next step is to ensure that if there is information on that card, that the person applies it. So in the case of an emergency, if somebody has communication difficulties, then applying any strategies that might be helpful for that. If they have something like sensory overload, then maybe considering whether or not sirens or flashing lights or things like that might need to be adjusted.
David Hughes, who was the manager of community risk reduction at the Country Fire Services, has said that clear communication can save lives. The National Assistance Card helps emergency responders understand and provide the support people need during a crisis. Now, Liz, having the National Assistance Card readily available, does that make it easier, or do you feel more comfortable asking for assistance now?
One of the main things that the National Assistance Card has given me is the confidence to try things I wouldn't have tried otherwise. When I first came across the National Assistance Card, after 15 years, it enabled me to reopen discussions around my head injury with my extended family, many people who had forgotten that I'd even have a disability. And that was really, really fascinating. It also enabled me in 2023 to walk from the east coast of Australia to the west coast of Australia and have my family who was supporting me through that mammoth 6,000 kilometer trek to feel confident that I was still going to be safe no matter who I came across, because I feel like this card enables me to make sure that I can, no matter what situation I find myself in, I can clearly and safely communicate my distress in those times of challenge.
Liz and Marie, it is now time for us to play some community service announcements. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM, where we are talking with Marie Claire Cooper, who is the Executive Officer at the Brain Injury Association of Tasmania. And we also have Liz Hayes, who is an ambassador for the National Assistance Card. Liz, from a practical perspective, have you got any tips or pointers where people with a disability can always have access to their National Assistance Card?
I like to wear mine on a lanyard around my neck when I'm going out. It's like making sure you've got a hat and sunscreen, or you're taking your water bottle with you. You just pop your lanyard on and then it's open and displayed and visible. And for most people that I know regularly, they sort of forget that it even exists. Whereas people that need to know about it can just, they have got a more opportunity to tend to ask what it is. And then I get to describe what it is. And that's a really simple thing.
Marie Claire, is the National Assistance Card, is it available in a digital format as well?
Currently, it's only available as a hard card, but we are working on developing a digital card, which I think will be fantastic, because there are those times, like Liz said, where, you know, you put your lanyard on, but if you've forgotten that, or, you know, forgotten your wallet and the card's in your wallet. Most people do travel with a phone these days, so having a digital card is a really valuable way of making sure that that's on, and especially for younger people who like to keep it all digital.
This is Practical Raph talking about the insight of having had a disability for a long, 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 long time. Practical Raph has gone through a lot of mobile phones over quite a few years. What I found was the best way for Raph to do things was with information like this. I used to lose my phone regularly. I would put an alternative contact as the front cover page so that people knew to ring that number. It says, if found, please call. It had an alternative contact number on it. That actually worked well. And I was thinking with something like the National Assistance Card, it has the front and the back of the card. I know the way which I would think about it, I'd probably photograph the front of the card and the back half of the card, and I would fit them onto a phone screen that way.
That's a fantastic suggestion. What I've loved about the National Assistance Card is all of the different ways that people have used the card. And we get this great feedback from people of either interesting places that they've used it in or ways like that. So that's a really great suggestion that I'm sure we'll pass on to other people.
The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, talking all things disability. The idea is that we try to share information on the show that does assist everyone. How was the National Assistance Card created and how was it funded? Is anyone?
The card initially, like I said earlier, was the Brain Injury Assist Card, and that started over 20 years ago from the experience of many people with brain injury, the challenges that they were having in the community. Brain injury is sometimes described as an invisible disability, which we don't always agree with that, but there is an element that people with brain injury can be out in the community. And a little bit like Liz was saying, even some of her own family members might not have actually remembered or recognised that disability. And so when people are in the community and they are being misperceived or misunderstood, that can come with some issues. So it's quite common in the brain injury community for people with brain injury to say that they have been mistaken for being drunk because maybe they have some balance issues or some speech sort of slurring. There's a lot of different ways they can be perceived as being aggressive or just sort of behaving badly. And so we've had cases of people being arrested, detained in custody overnight, even though they had said to the police officer that they had a brain injury. This was where the inspiration for the card came from, that we needed a way for people with brain injury in those really challenging moments to be able to share their disability status and what they need. That's something that's been very successful for many years within Tasmania, but we were always getting requests from other people with brain injury around Australia saying, well, we need a card too. In 2019, we were very fortunate to get a grant, a federal grant from the Department of Social Services, under an ILC grant that provided us the funding to expand the card nationally for brain injury and also to trial it for the autistic community. So we were very happy last year in 2025 to launch the card to the autistic community, and it's been really, really successful. We're very happy to be able to broaden that because there's a lot of differences with disability, but the one thing that I hear across all different disability types is that need to be able to share information, to have control over how to share that information, but to be able to share that information and communicate what somebody needs.
Liz, that's a nice answer that Marie Claire has given about regarding on how to share that information. Do you personally have any or concerns about privacy, for example? That's something which I tend to get very, very jumpy around, computers and mobile phones. Who can actually access what? How far does this information go?
I'm also very concerned about security of my data, and I'm really concerned about discrimination when people, you know, identify that you have a disability and then act a bit more wary. What I wonder about the National Assistance Card, if it is actually a legitimising tool, you know, because people want to help people, but if they don't know how to help you, then you can be perceived as quite dangerous. When we can start to debunk some of the myths around disability, and when we can start to more openly talk about it, I think that we will see, just that legitimization of the fact that people with disabilities are still a valuable part of society. And I think we can only do that by showing up, but we can only show up in safe spaces. And I think that when we start to try, when we're able to show up in those safe spaces, we start to see our community step forward and go, yep, well, we can now handle this. So when it comes to privacy, I think that I was never asked to put anything on my National Assistance Card that I didn't feel comfortable with. And it was all around what do I think I need in those really difficult, stressful moments. And how is it that I want to communicate that? So I took the option of listing my next, you know, that alternate phone number, my husband and carer on the back of my card. And I also took the opportunity to like create a little QR message that people could scan, and then they could see me when I'm like this, when I'm nice and approachable, and they could see me as a person. And I think those things means that nothing, I don't feel concerned for my privacy, And the only way that they can access that is usually, like, well, as I understand it, very clear, is that if I give my details to them, if I've got my card and I'm like, yep, this is it, then they can do that. And that's, yeah, I feel very much in control of that.
I just wanted to add to what Liz was saying that, so the National Assistance Card, we really value people's privacy. We make sure from that every step of the way people have as much control as possible over that. So in the application process, people have complete control over what is included in the card. They're certainly not compelled in any way to include sensitive information that they wouldn't feel comfortable with. Also, in the application process, our staff review all applications to ensure that sensitive information isn't being included. So an example might be on the QR code, the information there, we make sure that people haven't put something such as their address or their phone number, because those bits of information could make the person vulnerable if it fell into the wrong hands. The QR code link as well also expires. So if somebody does scan the QR code, our latest update will make it that that actually expires within 15 minutes. So somebody can't come back to that link and look at it after that time. I think it's very important that people have that choice. And also the front of the card just has the photograph and says, you know, your understanding and assistance would be appreciated. And it's only if the person chooses to show the back of the card where it has more information and the link to the QR code that people are then giving out that extra bit of information.
Well, is it? Thank you very much for all of that. Now, we are fast running out of time, Marie Claire and Liz Hills. So, finally, Marie Claire, what is the website to get more information, please?
You can visit our website on www.nationalassistancecard.com.au, or you can phone up and talk to one of our staff on 1300 680 045.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking, the Boldness has been talking with Marie Claire Cooper, who is the Executive Officer of the Brain Injury Association in Tasmania. Thank you very much for your time, Marie Claire.
Thank you, Raph, and thanks to the Boldness for having
me on. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we've been talking to one of the stars of the National Assistance Card. They are the ambassador for the National Assistance Card. Thank you very much for your time, Liz, for sharing your experiences. Thank you.
Thanks, Raph, for having me. It's been lovely to be here on the Boldness.
Thank you very much for that, Liz. It's been great for you to come on board as the ambassador for the National Assistance Card, talking about your experiences. Thank you very much. And remember to support the Boldness by subscribing to 3CR by calling 03 9419 8377, or by going to the 3CR website, www.3cr.org.au. And it's time for us to play a song, Power by Clean Beast. And remember one thing, if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me tonight.